Very good evening, and I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Sunset, gospel hour. Beyond the sunset, I'm sure the title is something that all of us can identify with. It simply is a description of your life and my life. When you are born to this world, it is sunrise. When your life ends, it is sunset. That's basically what this title means, isn't it? Beyond the sunset. What lies beyond death? Is there something awaiting all of us after we die? Why is it important and significant to know what is beyond this life? Is it the end? When we die, do we just simply disappear into nothingness? Or is there life still beyond this life? Somehow or other, future events always tickle our mind. We like to look into the future. We are very interested in future events and future things, so long as people tell us the truth. People present to us the correct picture, and we are prepared to invest our present life in light of the future. Is that not true? Whenever you see a piece of land being developed for sale, the first thing that the developer will present to us is a beautiful three-dimensional, if possible, model or an architectural perspective or an artist's perspective of what the whole condominium will look like. And they're going to portray the best perspective that will reflect the condominium according to the developer and the architect. And so if there is a very big and beautiful swimming pool, they're going to show it so that it will entice you to put in a down payment to buy a small, tiny little piece of that real estate that one day when it is completed, you will be there, your family will be there, and you're going to enjoy all the perks that this condominium promises you. Right? How near to the MRT, how near to this school, that school, what are all the good things about this condominium. And so when people study, when people read, when people look at the drawings, look at all the presentations, they are convinced. And so if you are convinced, then the proof that you really are convinced that this is the place for you, it may be 3-4 years down the road before it is completed, but right now you have to put a deposit. You have to put a down payment to believe that I truly think that this is good for me, this will be our future home. That's what we do, right? And that's what the portrayal of future events are supposed to have, that kind of impact. Impact our present life in light of what we know for a certainty that will take place. Now if, when the condominium was completed, and it is one big gigantic farce. There is no swimming pool. It is only a fake swimming pool. Just blue glass. Blue glass. Not a pool. Just blue colored glass. Because it's too expensive to dig down. Then you could put all the sheer walls to prevent the water from coming in. And it was a swampy area. So it's not worth it all. And so it's just blue glass. But it still looks good. And so when you buy this, and then you say, hey, it's a swimming pool, but it's only blue glass. And so you want to come out of this deal, you want to get out, you say that it's not fair, and then you try to get as many people as possible because we have been cheated. Right? And so you wish I had never invested because now I'm in a nightmare. I want to get out. Do you believe that the Bible is telling us the truth? Do you believe that God cannot lie? Do you believe that God is giving us a true picture of what will happen beyond the sunset? Now, if you really believe then it must impact your life. Right now, there must be some form of investment. And that will be your life. Now, how far beyond the sunset do we want to go? Now, we have to go to the very, very edge. So that means we have to look at a time not only beyond the sunset, beyond the millennium. Okay, and that brings us to Revelation chapter 21. Because Revelation 21 is a period that is beyond the millennium where Jesus Christ will rule on earth for 1,000 years. That is not far enough for our consideration this evening. So we are really going to look into eternity itself. Now this is a picture that is given by the designer of creation, God Himself. It is not man, it is not the church, this is the very Word of God. And He is telling us the truth because He can't deny Himself. He cannot lie. He is God. And this is His description of beyond the sunset. And in these 9 verses, He's going to portray 2 eternities. Now let's see which eternity you prefer. And then let's see which eternity is yours. Now you may prefer something, but it may not be yours. I mean, when I look at a lot of condominiums, I like to stay in many of them, but they are not mine because I can't afford them. I mean, I prefer this condominium, I prefer that condominium, and you can prefer all you want, right? But whether you're going to end up there, it's another matter. So when we consider this topic beyond the sunset, which is something that all of us got to consider, because it's a sunset that all of us will have to cross. It's a sunset that you and I have to face. You can't run away from this sunset. When it rises, you know that it will set. The moment you are born, you know that you're going to die. It's a matter of when. You don't know when, but you know that the sunset will come one day. Doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter how fit you are today, it does not matter. How many of you watched the Olympics? The opening ceremony? You all saw that elderly gentleman who came in at the last moment holding the white Olympic flag. His name was Muhammad Ali. You know Muhammad Ali? There was a time in his life he was so fit. He was an Olympic champion. He was the greatest boxer on planet Earth. Did you see that figure? He was not very great. He could not even stand when the Olympic anthem was played. Everyone else stood. He had to sit down on a chair. He was old. He was weak. He was very, very frail. Whether he will be around in the next Olympic, only God knows. Isn't it? So, beyond the sunset is a question that we all have to face and have to answer, because where will we be? Now, let's look at verse 1 to verse 7, where God will portray the first eternity. And let's see who wants to enter into this eternity and who will actually enter this eternity. And then verse 8 will describe the second eternity. And I don't think any one of us want to go there, but let's see who will end up there. You have to know by tonight, because you do not know when your sunset will come. It may be tomorrow, it may be sometime during the week. You cannot take the risk that you will be around next Lord's Day and your sunset has not set. Your sun has not set. Now let's see. Verse 1 to verse 7. The first eternity that is described here beyond the sunset, the Bible calls it a new heaven and a new earth. Now the word new there is a very special word. It means something that is completely brand new. It is something that is fresh, as opposed to the new heaven and new earth that was described, that would describe the millennium. The new heaven and new earth of the millennium was a renovation of the old earth and the old heaven. It was different. This one, the old heaven and the old earth, was completely destroyed. The new heaven and new earth, the Bible describes, is fresh and brand new. Now, how do we know that the old heaven and old earth, that means our present heaven and present earth, that is the old one, will be completely destroyed after the millennium? Well, because I say so. You cannot believe because I say so, right? It has to be from the Bible. Revelation 20, verse 11. That's what the Bible says. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. Now, what is the meaning of this word, fled away? The word fled away literally means vanished, disappeared from the face of creation, non-existent. And the Bible drives home that point by adding, and there was found no place for them, both of them, permanently destroyed by God. How it was done, the Bible did not need to say. The Bible just simply says that at the end of the millennium, this old earth, this old heaven is gone forever, vanished, disappeared, no more place found in God's new heaven and new earth for this old heaven and old earth. The reason is very straightforward. In the millennium, there was still sin. In the millennium, there was still death. That is why it was merely a renovation. Even though only believers enter the millennium, but there were believers who entered the millennium with this mortal body, whereby they could still fall into sin, whereby they could have children who were born sinners. That's why there was still death. But in the new heaven and new earth of Revelation 21, there will only be believers in the glorified body, whereby there will be no more sin, no more death, no more hell. That's why God now gives us, beyond the sunset, a brand new heaven and a brand new earth that has never been stained by sin, where no sinner had ever set foot on. Everything is fresh and brand new. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. So if you don't believe chapter 20, verse 11, then God says, now let me repeat this to you. The word fled away, vanished, means passed away, perished, destroyed. And there was no more sea in this new earth. No more seafood. No more sea. So better eat all the seafood you want right now. The new heaven, the new earth has no sea. So it will be a completely brand new. What the topography will look like, no one knows. It's in the secret will of God. That's the description of the new world, the new heavens. Verse 2, the new capital city. Now you cannot have a kingdom without a capital. Every kingdom must have a capital. And the Bible says, and I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, same, kainos, brand new, like the new earth, new heaven, fresh, brand new. It is not like the millennium that descended from heaven in the time of the millennium. This one is completely fresh and brand new. Now, that means the only residue of the old earth that you and I will recollect throughout eternity, that you and I will remember, is the name Jerusalem, isn't it? Isn't it? If the whole earth is destroyed, that means every nation, every capital city, all gone, and you know how frail and fragile our memory is. If you are away for a couple of years, when you come back to church, I think many of the faces of the friends that you met in church, that you have known for the past 20 years, with that 2 years of gap, you come back, sometimes you can't remember that name, isn't it? You look so familiar, but I'm so sorry I forgot your name. See, that's how terrible our memory is. Imagine God erased the old earth, the old heaven, and very soon you're going to forget everything about the old earth and the old heaven. But God says, the only thing you're going to recall and remember of the old earth is Jerusalem. But it will be brand new. That will be my capital city, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. So it is prepared for the church.
So this capital city is for us. Now remember, the city is not the bride. It's just city. The bride will be the people in the city. Jesus will make that abundantly clear in the next few verses of this chapter. And so this beautiful capital city is for us, where Jesus Christ will reign as the King of Kings, as the Lord of Lords, and we, his heirs and co-heirs with Christ, will be in the city it is prepared for us. So this new world, new heaven, new capital city, that's only the beginning. Verse 3, new relationship. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, look, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Now, why is this called new relationship? Is this not already a reality? Are we not God's people? Is God not with us? Did we not always sing about Emmanuel when we talk about Christmas, God with us? Yes, Emmanuel, God with us, refers to the first coming of Christ, refers to God incarnate, Jesus Christ taking on the form of man, and where Jesus Christ walked with us. But he was walking in the midst of enemies. He was walking in the midst of people who wanted to kill him and to stop his ministry. But this is different. This is not only God with us as Christians, as Jesus promised us, I will always be there for you and with you. I will never leave you. It is far more than this, because what Jesus says and promised us is true right now with us as God's children, but it is invisible to the naked eyes. But when verse 3 of Revelation 21 becomes a reality, it will not be invisible. It will be very visible. The Bible says the tabernacle, the house, the home of God is with men. And he will dwell with them, he will live with them, and they shall be his people, where everyone will see it with their visible naked eyes, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. That means everything will be greatly, openly manifested. See, right now the Bible says, now are we the sons of God, right? Now, if the world can really see us for who we really are, children of God, they will not dare to hurt us. They will not dare to harm us. They will probably heap upon us all kinds of blessing and reward. Is that not true? That's what we do to dignitaries. That's what we do to the children of kings and queens today, isn't it? When they come, there will be special treatment. There will be red carpet treatment. When they fly down in their planes, our head of state will come and visit them, and they will be given all kinds of preferential treatment. That's the children of kings and queens. Is that not true? And we are sons of God. But the world can't see us as sons of God. That's why they persecute us. That's why they do everything to hurt us and to harm us. And they treat us as if we are the scum of the earth. But if only they really know. But they will know one day. Of course they will. The world will be different. What the Bible here is telling us, that it will be manifested. It will be plain for the whole world to see. Everyone will know. Right now we believe by faith. But one day, beyond the sunset, beyond the millennium, it will be open, public, and it will also be forever. Our new open relationship with our Heavenly Father. It will no longer be by faith, it will be by sight. Your sight. You're going to see what verse 3 described by God Himself. Verse 4 and verse 5, not only new world, new capital, new relationship, new condition for all of us. New conditions. New state or new conditions. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things, the first things, the old things, are passed away, gone forever, departed, never to be seen ever again. Never. Wonderful, isn't it? Passed away. Just like the old earth, the old heaven, passed away, gone forever.
Now, of course, this verse 4 does not mean that there will be crying and God will wipe away. What it means is that all these very common emotions that we face right now as God's children, as we fight the good fight of faith, as we go out to witness, as we face persecution, all these experiences will become a thing of the past permanently. There will be none of these things ever, ever again. It will be a place of eternal bliss. It will be a place that is full of the glory of God. And all these things that you and I shy away from so much, that God has to encourage us, God has to remind us, God has to challenge us and to tell us that not only are we called to believe in Christ, but also to suffer for His name's sake, all these sufferings will soon be a thing of the eternal past. In my new heaven and new earth, where only my children will be, there'll be no more Satan, there'll be no more demons, there'll be no more sinners, there will also be no more sin. That means there'll be no more death, no more place of death, that is hell. It will only be a glorious place. Because you will be changed to fit this new heaven and new earth. That's why a new state, a new condition will be awaiting you beyond the sunset. All yours. All yours. Now, of course, I hope this will be your preference. This is what you want, isn't it? Who doesn't want a brand new, fresh, new heaven and new earth? But you have to invest. You have to invest right now in order to get what Jesus, the Lord Himself, had promised and honestly revealed to us. He's not lying. He's telling us the truth. Just like the architect telling us that this is how your new condo will look like. God says this is how the new home of my children will look like. Now the question is, are you prepared to make the right investment right now, or else it's not going to be yours? You may prefer it, but you have to invest in it. Now, you can't buy it. You can't use money. You can't work for it. Verse 6 and verse 7 tells us who can enter it, who will occupy it. And then He said unto me, verse 5. And He said, and He that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new, brand new. And He said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. You see, true and faithful. It's not lying. It is honest to goodness truth. And He said to me, it is done. You mean it is done? You mean all these things from the time when John received this 2,000 years ago? Why did God use the phrase, it is done? Because it is already done. As far as God is concerned, what is described here is already in the past tense. It is already completed. It is guaranteed. And then Jesus says, I am Alpha and Omega. Alpha, first letter of the Greek alphabet. Omega, last letter of the Greek alphabet. That means I will have the last word in everything. In every writing, I will have the last word in every speech. I was there at the beginning when Jesus says, in the beginning. God the Father was there. Jesus was there. God the Holy Spirit was there. First word. And then the last word. Right now, Jesus Christ will have the last word. That means, trust me. Believe me. Don't let the voices of men today lure you away from this eternity that can be yours beyond your sunset. The beginning and the end. The word beginning is where we get the word like archbishop, arch, the beginning, that means first, chief, power, authority. That means Jesus Christ is the beginning of authority and He will be the end of all authority. No one preceded Him, no one ever will, and no one will be there other than Christ at the end. All authority will be gone forever and Christ will be the only rule for all eternity. So He will be there at the beginning of the word, and He was there, and He will be there at the end of every word. He will be there at the beginning of all authority, and He was there at the beginning of all authority, and He will be there at the end of all authority, all power on this earth. That's what it means. You have to believe.
He has the power to do it. He is telling you the truth. He does not lie. He is faithful and He is true. And then He says, I will give. So you have this preference. Now do you want? Jesus says, I have to give it to you. You mean you give me this wonderful, wonderful place called New Heaven and New Earth, where I will have the New Jerusalem at my capital city? You mean you will just simply give me this brand new state and condition whereby there will be no more tears, no more death, and you will give me this wonderful, wonderful new relationship where I will dwell with God and God will dwell with me? That's what the Bible says in verse 6. I will give this God who has all power at His disposal, who can make and create new heaven and new earth, destroy the old heaven and old earth, and He says, I will give unto him that is athirst. You must have this thirst. You must have this thirst that is so insatiable that nothing on this earth can ever, ever satisfy you. This thirst is a spiritual thirst. This thirst stems from the fact that you know that you are a great and terrible sinner. And this thirst is for the righteousness of God. This thirst is for a relationship with God whereby you no longer will be called the enemy of God. It is this thirst that you are prepared to do anything and everything, like a heart panteth after the water brook. A psalmist says, so panteth after thee, O Lord. Because a heart that is a female deer will run and run and run when he's thirsty, and he will never stop running until he finds water, even if she has to drop dead and die. It's that kind of thirst. You must run after the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, because He's the only one who can save you from your sin. You and I are all full of sin. And because of that, we are now under a state of condemnation, and there is this dryness in our soul. And only the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ can cleanse us of all our sins, and only Jesus Christ can satisfy this thirst in our soul. That is this thirst. And Jesus says, when you have this thirst, do you have this thirst? Do you realize that you are a terrible sinner? You have lied. You have cheated. You may not be a criminal. God's standard is far higher than any standard of any country. As long as you have lied, as long as you have coveted, as long as you have worshipped idols, and all of us have committed these three sins over and over and over again, and you and I know that we deserve death, we deserve hell, and we deserve all the judgment that God could inflict on us because of His holiness, His wrath is our just desert. Do you want to avoid the wrath of God in your life? And that is this thirst that Jesus speaks of, an insatiable desire to get rid of the wrath of God that will soon fall upon me. And then you come, and then you find the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, because He is the Son of God who came onto this earth through the Virgin Mary, and He was born perfect, and He lived a life that was perfect according to God's holy word, and then He was led like a lamb to the slaughter to go to the cross to die for you and me as the Son of God and the Son of Man. And then God accepted what He has done after He died on the third day. God raised Him from the dead. And now He is interceding for all His children, and one day He will return and give us a brand new heaven and a brand new earth. God says, I will give to anyone who has this thirst. They will find the fountain of the water of life freely. It's a gift. All you need to do is to accept Jesus Christ from the depths of your heart. Unconditional surrender to Christ. Everything that once upon a time was in your hands and in your control is now surrendered to Jesus Christ. No more my ambition, my love, my desire, my life, my loves, my hate, everything. Lord, it is yours. That's the only way to not only want this eternity, the new heaven, new earth, new capital, new relationship, new condition, but to have it, to possess it. And Jesus says, he that overcometh, hold on to Jesus Christ,
to the very end shall inherit all things. What Jesus Christ has mentioned is only the tip of the iceberg, because there is so much more in this new heaven and new earth that remains to be revealed. And then God says, I will be his God, and he shall be my son. So there will now be this relationship, a father-child relationship that never existed before, until the moment you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior from your heart. Because this adoption is a gift from God because of his grace and his mercy. And the moment you accept from your heart, unconditionally, this eternity is yours. This is the present investment that you have to put down. Total surrender to Jesus Christ, a thirst that can only be satisfied in the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you choose not to do so, then beyond the sunset, you will receive an alternate eternity. And the alternate eternity is described in verse 8. And this alternate eternity is a place of great pain and torment. Look at the last part of verse 8. It is called the lake of fire, as opposed to the new heaven and new earth. The lake of fire that burneth with fire and brimstone, which is also known as the second death. Because when you die physically, that's the first death. When you die in this second, it is called the second death. So beyond the sunset, you will continue to exist, but it will be a time of great pain and torment. You may not want to go there, but you will end up there, because there are only two options. There is no third eternity. Only two. The new heaven and new earth, and this lake of fire. Why? Because right now, in this state, in this condition, we are all sinners. New heaven and new earth, there is no sin. Even if, and we know that God will never, even if you want to go in there and God allows you to go in there, you can't fit in, because you will still have sin in your life. New heaven and new earth has no sin, has never been tarnished by sin. So the only ones who can go in are those who have no sin. And the only way that you and I can have no more sin in our life is to find someone to die on the cross for your sin, to die in your place. And Jesus Christ did. And all you need to do is to look to him and believe in him and admit and acknowledge that Jesus Christ really died on the cross for your sins. All you need to do is that, and then there will be a power of God that will transform you, whereby you will now be called the children of God. And then you will now no longer be considered a sinner. Now you are fit for the new heaven and the new earth, your eternity beyond the sunset. Who are the inhabitants of the other alternate eternity? The lake of fire. First part of verse 8, the fearful. The fearful. Are you very fearful? Are you easily frightened? Frightened of a lot of things? Well, you are described here, fearful. If you are a Christian, you be strong and courageous. You don't ever be afraid. Don't ever be afraid of Satan, for he can only hurt your body. You be afraid of God. That's the beginning of wisdom. Because he can destroy both your body and your soul. The unbelieving, those who call God a liar, those who tell God, I don't need Jesus Christ to die for my sins, my good works are good enough. God says, you better think again. Your good works can't even come close. You can't even see heaven. Don't talk about entering heaven by your good works. Nicodemus thought he could. And Nicodemus was a teacher of the Jews. And the Jews were called God's people, and the Jews have God's word. You and I don't even have God's word. Based upon what standard do you call your works good works? Based upon whose standard? Even Nicodemus, with all his good works that are patterned after God's word, God says, cannot. You can't even see the kingdom of heaven. And you and I can't even compare with the good works of Nicodemus. We can't even see the horizon of heaven. Don't talk seeing heaven itself. The unbelieving. You believe in Jesus Christ? That's the only way, dear friends. You believe in God's word, you believe in the portrayal of the future of our new home, new heaven and new earth. God never lies. Then put your investment right now. Right now. Murderers. Sorry, abominable. Abominable describe all things that stink and that are disgusting. Abominable. All kinds of filth. All kinds of evil. Alcoholism, drug, smoking, drinking, gambling. All these are filth. Disgusting. Murderers, including those who are angry with people without a just cause. Whoremongers, all kinds of sexual sin. Fornication, very common. Adultery, very common. And homosexuality, very, very common. All included there. Sorcerers, those who dabble in dark forces. Black magic, Harry Potter, all these things Christians must never go near. Idolaters, all kinds of worship, seen and unseen. Anything or anyone more important to you than God is an idol. Your work, your children, your family, your wife, your husband, because you use them as an excuse not to obey the word of God, that is idolatry. And then finally, all liars. Telling lies. We all have lied before, but these all liars are people who make lying a pattern of their life. They keep on lying, keep on lying, keep on lying. They cannot help themselves but keep on lying. They have no part in the kingdom of heaven, the new heaven and new earth, but they will have their part in the lake of fire. So two eternities beyond the sunset. Which is your preference? And I'm sure it is the new heaven and new earth, isn't it? But then, the second question. Where exactly will you go? Which one is truly your eternity? Preference means nothing. Where you will really end up is everything. Make a choice. And verse 9 in conclusion. There came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues. And then he talked with me, John says, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Who are they? Verse 24, the nations of them which are saved, they shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and their honor into it. That's the believer. That's the ones who thirsted, who had this great thirst. They are the ones who accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior unconditionally. They are the ones whose heart has been touched by the love of God through Jesus Christ. They have found grace. They have received what God has given them in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is reality, dear friends. And this can be your reality beyond your sunset. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, speak to our hearts, O Lord, once again this evening, out of thy holy book, as we consider the topic beyond the sunset. For our birth is our sunrise, and one day we all will have to face our sunset. Where will we be, O Lord, when we die? Help us to make the right decision today, right this moment, that we may have the new heaven and the new earth as our eternal hope, our eternal home, where God will dwell with man and we with him. And we pray, Father, that thy Holy Spirit may bring conviction to anyone who has not accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and as his Savior. For our heart's cry before thee, O Lord, is that none in our midst will end up in the eternity which is the lake of fire that burneth without end, but that all who are here this evening will be found in the new heaven and new earth. O Lord our God, may thou hear our humble cry and bring conviction to every heart. For this we ask with thanksgiving and for thy glory and for Jesus' sake. In Jesus' name we give thanks and pray. Amen.